touch me. Oh, you touch me. And you know the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know you touch me.
Amen.
Since I let this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternal.
Amen.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now
amen.
Oh, He touched me. Yes, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Something happened, and now I know He touched me. And
Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter number 14. I've been asking you how y'all been doing on your reading, your Bible reading. You should be well into the book of Numbers if you're following the schedule that I'm on. I came to find out there are two different schedules that you might have. And so I probably need to get Brother Phil to give you the... let you know where he's at, so if you're up to date, you'll be where Brother Phil's at. You're in Numbers too? And so I hope that you're doing this. If you are a believer, if you've accepted Christ, I mean, you really need to at least read through the Bible one time. And what I'm hoping that it'll start in you is just a flame that'll keep... getting bigger and bigger until you can't get enough of the Word of God. And so please do your best this year to read through the Bible with us. But Numbers chapter 14, you would have read this a few days ago, and I hope this will be a help to you this morning. The title of this sermon is, How Could They? How Could They? This is Israel getting ready to go into the Promised Land. And instead of them crossing over, they turn back. And you and I, when we read that, we shake our heads and we think, after all that God has done for you, how could you do that? And I hope that maybe this message this morning will help each of us in our relationship with the Lord. I'm praying that it will. There are several specific points I believe that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. And so I hope that you will pray that God will get those things across to us this morning and it will help us. My burden is that you and I walk with God. Not that we just know about Him, not that we just hear about Him, but every day we live in His presence. The constant presence of God. And that's our great burden. And I want you as a believer to realize that God didn't just save you to give you a ticket to heaven. And okay, one day you'll get there. No, He wants to walk with you today. He wants to have intimate fellowship with you. And if you don't have that, then you're missing what Christianity is really all about. Is that true?
Amen.
And so let's pray for one another that the Lord would help us. So Numbers chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Notice that exclamation point. That wasn't just a whisper. That was a, it would have been better just to die in Egypt. What are y'all doing? That's how it was said, right? Or would God we died in this wilderness. Again, I'll not emphasize that one, but you get the point, right? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? Why did God do this? To fall by the sword? Is that why He brought us here? To kill us in battle? Or that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, and the land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stones to stone them with stones. Bade stones them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Let's pray. Lord, we beg you that you would help us this morning. Lord, the last thing that I want to do is to waste these precious people's time. Lord, you want to speak to their heart. You want to shepherd them into a closer walk with you. Lord, you want to meet their needs. And I pray, God, this morning that you would do that. I ask you, in the name of Jesus, that you would do that. Lord, help me to say those things that you would say if you were standing before this congregation this morning. Lord, keep me from saying things that is not helpful or edifying or would not make the point that you want to make this morning. And I pray, God, that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to prick our hearts as you did on the day of Pentecost. And Lord, help us to see the need that we have before you. And then, Lord, help us to come before you in prayer and ask you, God, to meet these needs. Lord, if there are any among us that are lost, they've never received Christ, Lord, please open up their heart to the truth of the gospel, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus today and that they would be saved. And Lord, we pray that if there are Christians that are in a cold, indifferent, backslidden state, that you would revive them and stir their heart. And Lord, help them to fall back in love with Jesus and Lord, begin obeying you again. We just pray, God, that your will would be done on earth as it's done in heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you've read through the Bible so far, or if you can remember reading in times past, this is one of the great sins that the nation of Israel committed. You can remember reading Exodus when they made a golden calf. That was a big sin. Why? Because they just agreed to God not to make idols and worship them. And just a few days or less than a week or so later, here they are bowing down before an image that they made. And they were saying, this golden calf is the God that led you out of Egypt. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled. Well, the Bible says about this time that Israel provoked God to anger. The writer of Hebrews records this. You may remember reading this in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3, verses 7 through 11. By the way, the psalmist mentions this time of provocation. Here it's mentioned in Hebrews as well. But notice what it says in Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. Wherefore, and then he does this parenthesis, as the Holy Ghost saith, and he continues, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That's this event. In the day of temptation or rebellion. In the wilderness. How did they rebel? Verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, parentheses. That's what the whole thing is what the Holy Ghost said. He said, I brought them to the Jordan. That's the land that I promised to them. And it's time to cross over now. And they rebel. They are refusing to go over. And this certainly stirred up the anger of the Lord. If you are in Numbers chapter 14, look at verse number 12. I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. It's almost the same prayer as when they made the golden calf. He said, I'm going to wipe them out, Moses, and I'll start over with you. And I'll make a more faithful nation through you and your descendants. Moses intercedes again and he prays. And God's wrath is appeased, and he does not destroy them, but this is the punishment. How many of you remember what happened? They were sent back into the wilderness, and for 40 years, they did this right here, just a circle. Until one by one, that generation that turned their back and rebelled died in the wilderness, and then God took their children across into the promised land. I love reading the book of Joshua because when they crossed and faced these enemies, those enemies are afraid and they're falling before the nation of Israel in defeat, and God gives them great victory. This generation could have experienced that, but because of unbelief, they turn their back on God. Their refusal to cross the Jordan was a refusal to do what God had promised that he would do for them. God said, I will give you the land. And they said, we don't believe that. It's never going to happen. This is one of the points that I want to try to get across to all of us. When we read about people in the Bible, you know who we should see when we read about that? We should see ourselves. One of the problems when you go to church is you always think, well, that message is for somebody else. My father-in-law said, that's pitchfork religion. You're sitting there and say, well, that's your brother so-and-so over there. That's for sister so-and-so over there. It's not for me. Every time we hold up the Bible, it is a mirror. You know who really has a need in America? It's not all these people that we talk about that's out there. The people that have the greatest need in America is all of us. We're the ones that are in desperate need of God doing something in our life. And the reason we're not getting a hold of it is because we always think it's for somebody else. I mean, last Sunday morning, we tried to talk to you about how to walk with God. Right? And you know, a lot of times, even with that, people are like, well, You know, so-and-so can walk with God. Preacher can walk with God. This person. No, that's for you. That's for me. And here are some warnings that are directed at us. The writer of Hebrews said, listen, don't make the same mistake they made. Go back and read. That's the point he's making it. He said, don't harden your hearts today as they hardened their hearts back then. In your little bulletin, the passage in 1 Corinthians written. Paul said, the things that they experienced are examples to us. We're to learn from their shortcomings. Why? So we don't make the same mistake they made. You know, I think if you really examine this lesson for us in history, you'll see some things that are keeping you from being what God wants you to be. I think it's a good opportunity for us to say, Lord, here am I looking at this Jordan and I'm not advancing in my Christian life. What's causing me to drag my feet? You know, there are a lot of people who have been saved for a great number of years. And if you know I'm telling the truth, say amen here. When I make this point. That they've been saved a long time, but they've made little spiritual progress. How many of y'all know people that, hey, they've been saved for years and years? You know what I'm ashamed of and troubled by? I've been saved for a long time myself. And I'm ashamed that I'm not a lot further along than what I am. I could be much closer to Christ than what I currently am. I have great need in my own heart. And if we can ever get back to this and realize I'm the one that needs to get close to God. I'm the one that needs to change. I'm the one that needs to grow. And it's a good chance that we might experience some reviving even in our day. But if we always think the problem's out there, we're never going to change. Remember what Jesus, our Lord, said in Matthew chapter 7? He said, we're always trying to get the beam out of our brother's eye. You know, well, that they're not a Christian if they act like that. Or, I mean, they claim to be a Christian and they do this or that. And we had one of the men yesterday, we were meeting, and he was talking about trying to witness to a family member. And he said that family member says, you're not a Christian. And we're always looking at others and their problems, and the Bible never encourages us to do that. It encourages us, first of all, to get that little mote out of our eye. You said they got big problems, you got problems. Can I tell you something this morning? You can't change anybody. Now, who can change? You can change as you kneel at the nail print feet of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
If you'll kneel before Him, He can change you. Who needs to change? I need to change. This is a lesson for us this morning. This is a lesson for me this morning. And how would God have us to apply it? What caused them not to go forward? We look at this, we say, how could they do this? By the way, they had all the benefits in the world, right? This was the people that lived in Egypt. I'll just go over this quickly if I can. And they saw the 10 plagues. They saw what God was doing to Egypt. They're the ones that were loaded down with the Egyptians when they left. They said, here, take this, and take this, and take this. They're the ones that saw the Red Sea part. You imagine if you ever, I mean, could you imagine being there, the Red Sea parted? You and I all would think, I will never question God again.
Amen.
How many of y'all feel that way? Amen. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And you walk across from dry land, and it's amazing. And then the army of the enemy comes, and he destroys them in the water, and you're dancing on the other side. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Look what God has done. This is amazing. 3 days later, They're at the bitter water. And they don't have anything to drink. Guess what they're saying? We should have never left Egypt. Moses, why did you do this? You brought us out here so we'd die. That's the only reason you brought us out here. They had already forgotten the Red Sea. You know what? That's the same thing that happens to us. I still remember the night that Jesus saved me. So I was rejoicing when Brother Phil was singing that song. I still remember the night He changed my heart. He changed my life. I mean, when I got up the next morning, I was a different person. The night I met Him, I was saved, born again, and changed because of my meeting Jesus. What a joyful salvation experience. But boy, I have forgotten about that sometimes in my Christian walk. There's nothing like that, Brother Lewis. And somehow, I'm out here in the world, tempted by the devil, and I act as though I never met Jesus at all. Has He ever answered a great prayer of yours, a great burden that was on your heart? Has He ever answered a prayer of yours? And you're just so thrilled, God answers prayer. And then we do the same thing they've done. We've left the Red Sea, and we've come to the waters where there's a need, and God meets that need, and boy, what a miracle! We're so excited! And it's not very long, there's no bread, and we're complaining about that. Does that sound like your Christian walk? A lot of times, that's most of us. Amen? So, when you ask how could they, really we might should be asking how can we? How can we keep treating Jesus the way we're treating Him? Now, I talk to some Christians sometimes, and they're like, preacher, it's been so rough since I've become a Christian. And they almost talk like if they went back into the world, it would be better. Have you ever heard anybody kind of talk like that?
Yeah.
I had a guy that we tried to help in our community. Lived down the street. We used to live in a double-wide trailer here. And he was hooked on crack cocaine. And he made a profession of faith. And we were home one evening. He came knocking on the door. And I opened the door, he burst into the front room, uninvited. He said, you can't live this Christian life. It's too hard. He was battling that old flesh. Those old cravings. And those strongholds. And I said, well, this is what the Bible said. The way of the transgressor is hard. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? Ever seen a Christian looking back to the world and longing for it? God help us. When we're tempted to desert Jesus, turn our back on Jesus, and walk away from those things that He has promised us, we do the same thing these folks are doing here. Amen? Is that true or not? What causes them to turn their back away? What caused them not to move forward? First of all, because of a discouraging word. Look back in chapter 13 of Numbers. Remember, if you haven't read this, a discouraging word. How many spies did Moses send in the promised land? 12. How many came back with a good report?
2.
That means that 10 came back with an evil. That's what the Bible said, right? An evil report. What do you think would have happened if they came back and all 12 said, hallelujah, God's with us. Can we go over tonight? I mean, you think most of them would have said, yes, amen. I think all of them would have said, amen, hallelujah. But they heard a discouraging word. Listen to what they were told in chapter 13. Look at verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Here's a large old grape. Yes, it's just like God said, floweth with milk and honey. Look at the
Boy, I wish they'd have stopped there. Don't you?
But notice the next word. And I think they said it this way. Nevertheless. They did it in that old Eeyore voice, you know. Oh boy. I mean, that's what God said, but by the way, let me say something to you as a Christian. Someone, somewhere, is going to say all through your Christian life, but nevertheless, I know what God said, but there's some problems here. Nevertheless, you might as well expect that. If you think everyone's going to encourage you to live for God, you are fooling yourself. They said, nevertheless, the people be strong in that land, and that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very, look, they didn't just say great, very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb said, oh, wait. This is not a report we're supposed to be giving. By the way, they continue with their evil report. Look at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, "Woe, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Look at verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." You know, sometimes we don't move forward with God because of discouraging words. By the way, that's one of Satan's favorite tools. I mean, sometimes you can come to this altar and you can be on fire. And you say, "God, I'm going to live all out for you. This is it. This is my life. I'm leaving everything in the altar." And you get up and you get your car and bam. There's a problem, an issue. Somebody said something. And then all of a sudden you're back in that old mindset. And Satan does his best to whisper in your ear, "You can't live that life. What do you think you're doing? You ain't making any progress whatsoever. You're wasting your time." And on he goes. I mean, you can bear witness to that. He's really good at saying discouraging things, isn't he? He is a liar and the father of it. Amen?
Amen.
Notice, first of all, in verse 31, their doubt. This is a discouraging word. Every time we express doubt, that's discouraging. You know what we're to do here at church? We are to encourage one another.
Amen.
We're to say you can live for God. You can walk with God. You can live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God will answer your prayers. Jesus does love you. Amen? God keep us from saying things that would hinder someone in their Christian life. Notice they said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." You're going to often battle with doubt. You'll see your weakness and you'll think, "I can't serve the Lord. I can't grow spiritually. I'll never be used of God." When you look at your weakness. How many of you ever get stuck on this? "I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't." How many of you ever?
No.
You feel like, "Man, I can't do anything." I remember when my son, the one that's not with us this morning, come to us just as a young boy, and we had to stay on him constantly. We said, "Don't go outside." Next thing I know, he's outside. "Son, don't go in that room.
Turn around, he's in that room.
Son, don't do this. And he done it. So me and Brenda, we were both on him all the time. And one day he said this. He said, I can't ever do anything right. You know what the Holy Ghost did in my heart? He set alarm bells off in my heart. He said, Tom, if you don't change your way, you're dealing with that boy. He'll commit suicide. You know what he was getting all the time? You messed up, son. You did wrong, son. You messed up again. You messed up again. You can't ever do anything, I tell you. Why don't you? And even if I didn't say the words, me having to correct him all the time, he got the feeling, why should I even try? Because I can't do anything. So I told Brenda, I said, from now on, we need the least thing right. I want you to praise him for it. Say, put those chairs up. Put them up. Son, you did a great job. Thank you. And the Lord gave us wisdom to help him. And I think that changed things in his life when he started seeing, yes, there are some things that I can do. When you're hearing constantly, I can't, I can't, I can't, I'm telling you, it is from the enemy. It may be from the devil himself, but it may be from your old flesh. How many of y'all know when you get saved, you bring some of that old you into this new Christian life? Is that true? Now listen to me. You've got ruts in your mind. You've got ways of thinking in your mind. And as soon as you face a similar situation, guess what you do? You slip into that old rut. And you start acting like the old unsaved person, saying the old unsaved words, doing the old unsaved things. I like how Paul addressed that. He said, it's no more I. It's sin that dwells in me. This is not who I am now. I'm in Christ. That's the old me. Let me say this to you. When you're saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, go a little bit further. Even if the devil's beating you over the head and say, you can't, you can't, you need to go just a little bit further and say, I can't, but Jesus can. I can't, but Jesus can. I'm not trusting me, I'm trusting Jesus. I can do all things through Christ. I can't do it without Him, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can walk with God. Why? Because Christ will strengthen me to walk with God. You know, let's say I'm 80 years old. I'm getting pretty close. And I look back at my entire Christian life. I made no progress whatsoever. You know what? I can still be transformed in the likeness of Christ. I can still become like Jesus. As long as I'm taking a breath, there's the potential of God doing great things in my life. Amen? Listen, there's no telling what God will do with you. There's no telling how God would use you if you just yield to Him. Amen? John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen? So here, you're going to constantly deal with doubt. The devil's a master at saying, you can't, you can't. You and I have told ourselves plenty of times, you can't do that. You'll never be nothing. And I just plead with you this morning. Just remember this. When you are tempted to do that, add to it and say, that's right. But Jesus can. Hey, when the children walked across the Jordan, did they experience victory? Did they? Yes. If these folks had walked across, would they have experienced victory? Absolutely. Amen. Can you experience victory? Yes and amen. Don't give in to the devil's whispers of doubt. Notice next also because of the deception. He didn't just try to cause us to doubt. Look back at verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. How do we know that's a lie? What they say in verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are... Oh, somebody's doing great there. Right? It's not eating up everybody, is it? I mean, there's some people doing really well. Cities, walled cities. I mean, you talk about the Jebusites, the Canaanites. There's a lot of people there. They're doing great. Right? It doesn't eat up everybody, does it? Can I say something to you? This is a flat out lie. Not just throwing out doubts. This is a lie. They've been over there for quite a long time themselves, and they come back. All 12 of them. The fact they weren't consumed. I mean, I could understand it, Sister Linda, if they came back. There's only two of them left, and they were beat up and battered and bruised and broken arms, and they came back and said, Brother Brian, we can't make it. I mean, we just barely got out. That's not how they came back. You see, the devil's a master deceiver. If he can't just discourage you with doubt, he will just flat out lie to you. And this is what these folks are. These 10 men are flat out lying. And we see it's a lie, don't we? My burden this morning is that when you look at this text and you see your spiritual growth or lack of spiritual growth, that you might at least see some things that are hindering you from moving forward. And I promise you, one thing that's hindering you from moving forward is doubt. Some of you really don't think. I mean, even when it comes to God answering prayer, how many of you have done this? Well, I better get somebody else to pray for that. Have you ever made that mistake? Several of you are shaking your head. No, I have. I mean, I better get to my preacher to pray for that because, you know. Or I'd say, I'd even get Brenda. I'm telling Miss Brenda can get some prayers answered. Can she, Corey? I mean, she prays about something. It almost happens immediately. I say, Brenda, I want you to pray about this. Why? Because I feel unworthy. I don't feel like God can answer my prayer. You may be there yourself. Can I say something to you? The promise of answered prayer is to you.
I want you to know that the devil is a liar. I mentioned these verses to you before. But I want you to think about them again. Think about this. The devil's a liar. The devil is a liar. 1 Peter 5:8-9. He says that we're to be sober and we're to be vigilant. We're to always be watching. Why? Because the attack is coming and it's going to come in some blindsided way. So you got to always kind of be aware of what's going on. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, he lets it know, I'm here. And he wants you to be afraid of it. Walks about seeking whom he may devour or completely consume. You say, preacher, why do you want to mention that? Because of verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith.
Exactly.
You see, when Satan is shooting arrows of deception and shooting arrows of lies and falsehoods, untruths, only way that we're going to stand against those untruths is with the shield of faith, which is the Word of God. And when he says, God is not going to hear you, you say, wait a minute. He said, ask and you shall receive. I don't know what you're talking about. I know what he said. Isn't that what Jesus did? He said, well, prove that you're the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, no.
That's not true. That's not how it works. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what Jesus was doing? He was showing you how to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. And the problem is, if you don't know the truth, you'll believe a lie. If you don't know what God said, you're an easy target for the devil's deception.
Amen.
I'm just trying to tell you, how can you move forward? How can you be careful about discouraging words? How do those words come that discourage us? They come in doubt. You know, lies are awfully discouraging too, aren't they? I mean, the devil tells you something and you take it like an old brim or a bass, hook, line, and sinker. How many of you ever seen a bass take in a lure, you know? They call them largemouth or something. I mean, they just say, suck it in, it's gone. And a lot of times the devil throws out a lie in front of you and you're... And you don't even know it's a trick from the devil. I'm pleading with you. I don't know how to do this. You have to do it yourself. You have to go home. You have to open up this blessed book. And you have to put your nose in it and read it and pray over it and live it and ask God to help you to have truth. So when the devil comes with a lie, you can say, no, that is not true. I can. I will. God is. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you struggle when you believe those things that are not according to God's will. And finally, just raw, flat-out discouragement. He uses doubt to discourage us. He uses deception to discourage us. But look at that final verse in chapter 13. And therefore we saw giants, the son of... These all, what they're saying is absolutely true, but the last part is exaggerated. We're not grasshoppers. I'm just saying to you, get some courage from Jesus. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Get a word from God. And when's the last time that you heard God speak to you? And I'm not talking about not necessarily an audible voice. But how many of you know this? Sometimes when God speaks, it almost is as loud as an audible voice, right? How many agree with that? Is that true or not? When's the last time you had God speak to you? You know what some of us need to do? We need to go home and open up this Bible and say, God, I've got to hear from you. I don't want to live my Christian life just on my own thoughts or feelings or my own. I got to hear from heaven. Lord, I want to know how to have a relationship with you. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to shepherd my life. I want Jesus to direct my steps. I want to walk with God. God, I have to hear from you. Can I say something to you? He will answer that prayer. Amen? Who is it that doesn't want you to walk with God? Have you ever tried to even answer that question? I mean, here you are. You're, if you're saved, you want this. Amen? What forces would keep you from that? I believe there's a real devil, don't you? I believe he would do almost anything in his power to see that that stops. Right?
Amen.
Remember when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh turned around and said, sure enough, y'all go ahead and just leave. Is that what he said? He said, evidently, you got too much time on your hand. Y'all thinking about some crazy stuff now. So I'm going to make sure you don't have no straw. And you're still going to have to make the same amount of bricks.
What happened? I mean, it was impossible. It was almost impossible, Brother Brian. Now it is impossible. And they went to Moses and they said, Moses, we wish you had never said anything. Why don't you keep your mouth shut? It's worse now than before. And we didn't think it could get any worse. You know how often I use that with a new believer and they come to Jesus and they're doing great. I mean, they're on fire. They're excited about everything. Isn't it a joy to see a new convert? I mean, whatever the Bible says, you could tell them, you know, anything. Ah, yes, I'll do it. And then all of a sudden, they seem to get stuck in mud somewhere. And they say, you know, it's been tough. It's been hard. I said, that's exactly how the devil works. As soon as God wants you to take a step and you try to take that step, guess what the devil does? He wants to fight that first step out of all the steps. Why? Because if he doesn't fight that step, he knows you're going to take another step and another step and another step. And what often we get stuck in is when we find that first conflict. And we do things we used to do, and we say stuff that we used to say. How many of you felt miserably after you got saved? All right, I'm the only one that did. I felt, miserably after I got saved. To the point, my mom and dad, my dad would say, Tommy, you ain't no Christian. Christians don't act like that. To the point, I was wondering even if I was a Christian. You think I was making much progress in the Lord during that time? Absolutely not. And the devil tries to do the same thing to you over and over and over again. Didn't I warn you last Sunday about this here? Some of you have been knocked down, you got up, you knocked down, got up, you knocked down, got up. And some of you have been knocked down and you say, you know what, I might as well just stay here. And I'm telling you, get up. Yes, there's a devil out there. A greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yes, you're going to face doubt and fears and discouragement and deceptions. But Jesus is with you. He's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and he can show the way. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord reigns. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
You can make it because Jesus is with you. Don't you quit on the Lord. Cross Jordan. Go on to do greater things with God. Would you do that this morning? Some of you just need to say, Brother Tommy, my life has kind of been stuck as a Christian. I've been saved for a number of years. I'm still doing some things. But I know I'm not where I need to be. And I want Jesus to help me. I want to move forward in my relationship with the Lord. Why don't you come talk to Jesus about that? Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love and your grace.